Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our Instagram, 331-979-1369 as well. Drop your texts, your voicemails, anything you got for us, drop it there. Tonight, we finally made it. Tonight is opening night for the Bulls. We're back in Charlotte. Feels kind of like deja vu. The Bulls opened in Charlotte last year as well. If you guys were around long enough here at Locked On Bulls, we had some fun with the Locked On Hornets guys last year. They're not in the same situation they were last year, so we won't pick on them this year. But should be very exciting. Seems like the buzz around the Bulls is at an all-time high right now, so I'm hoping it stays there. But the NBA opened up last night. Was very excited for that as well. Got two really, really good games between the Lakers and Clippers and Raptors and Pelicans. But very excited for this Bulls season to start. Matt, how you doing? Thanks for holding it down while I have been a creature of the night for the last few weeks. How you doing?
What up, Jordan? What up, Bulls Nation? Looking forward to tonight. Hopefully kicking off the Bulls season with a win. I know Bulls fans are, you know, looking at this opening of the schedule. I mean, it is busy. You know, the Bulls play three games in the first four nights of the season tonight. Then they got a back-to-back Friday, Saturday, and they're playing four of their first five on the road. But the schedule, as far as quality of opponent, based on what we are thinking coming into the season and who's going to be good and who's going to be bad, is pretty generous, starting with what, you know, many people think might be the worst team in the league this season, being the Kemba Walker-less Charlotte Hornets. So certainly more optimism than opening night last season.
Michael Jordan going to be handing Michael Reinsdorf a honorary basketball tonight at opening night.
I mean, they already did that, right? Been there, done that? Passing the torch of the All-Star weekend?
I guess. Before we get into sort of what we expect from tonight and then the season going forward, just wanted to mention really quick, I heard from some people that Ben Gordon has been hanging around the Bulls facilities the last few days, so that's good to see. You know, just the things that Ben Gordon has gone through the last few years, and I just, especially this last calendar year, very bizarre things, struggling with some mental health stuff too. So it seems like the Bulls have reached out and given a hand to Ben Gordon and allowed him to come around the practice facilities and just hang around and be a part of the team and just have that sense of community again. So I did hear that, and that's good to know because Bulls fans absolutely love Ben Gordon.
Yeah, always been a fan favorite, you know, part of that baby Bulls team. Also, some of those iconic moments from their 2009 first round series against Boston, and you know, good for him. Got a pretty big contract to move on and go play for Detroit, and then his career kind of, you know, sort of, you know, slowly and unfortunately just kind of petered off after that. But yeah, as far as him hanging around Chicago recently, certainly cool to see him back around. I do know that Casey Johnson said that he had a chance to talk with Ben Gordon for quite a while and is going to be doing a pretty long sort of thorough piece talking about their conversation, where Ben Gordon was apparently very open about some of his struggles recently. As you mentioned, he's been dealing with some mental health issues, and just sort of, you know, what his life has been like since he left the league. So definitely keep an eye out for that. I think it's going to be coming out for NBCSportsChicago.com sometime in the next few days. Can't wait to see what's going on with Ben Gordon.
Yeah, and I have to give props to the Bulls, too, really quick, just because from the story that I heard, it sounded like Ben Gordon reached out to the Bulls as well, just asking if he could kind of come around and hang around the team and, you know, just be in the building. And as much as, you know, we give criticism to the Bulls for things that they do on the floor, the money that they spend, or, you know, just being a fan in general, I think this is something that should be highlighted as far as a positive goes. And the Bulls take care of their own. You know, we always talk about loyalty, and it's kind of a double-edged sword. It can be a positive and it can be a negative, but this is definitely a positive. It's nice to see that, you know, when guys are struggling, even if they played here a decade ago, the Bulls are willing to give out, to lend a reaching hand to anybody that's struggling and take care of their own. So they definitely did that with Ben Gordon. So maybe he'll be a part of something here in the future if he wants to be, whether it's an advisor role or whatever, or just hanging around the team. But I wanted to give props to the Bulls for reaching out and allowing him to do that.
Yeah, and kind of a similar thing with D. Rose when he was still trying to, you know, make his way back into the league. And he's gone on record as saying, basically, the Reinsdorfs and everybody with the Bulls has told me, you know, anytime you're in Chicago, we know this is always going to be home for you, regardless of where you're playing. Anytime you want to come and use our facilities, you're more than welcome. So they certainly do have, you know, multiple examples of doing kind things like that for former players of theirs that meant a lot to them. But I, you know, at the same time, it also does kind of, I think, depend on which players and how the Bulls feel about them. Because there are some players that they just trash to the media on their way out of town and do not have positive relationships with once they leave. Sometimes even coaches. So, you know, yes, there are examples of them doing stand-up stuff like that, but there are examples of the opposite, too.
It's true. Just wanted to update Bulls fans on that as well. So let's get into what we expect from tonight. Like you had mentioned before, Charlotte Hornets team is terrible. Like, there's no other way to describe this Hornets team than just flat out terrible. They spent all that money on Terry Rozier this offseason, being the replacement for Kemba Walker. You know, they have a handful of young guys, too, that I think are going to be good in a few years. Miles Bridges, Dwayne Bacon, a few other guys, Malik Monk, a few other guys on this team that I think they can build up a young core, but they're pretty much starting from scratch and didn't have a whole lot of success when Kemba Walker was there too. But I expect this Bulls team to come out and play pretty decent on the road and grab a win tonight in Charlotte. Is there anything specific that you're going to be looking for on opening night here?
Well, certainly going to be paying attention to how this Bulls offense, the multi-ball handler system, the addition of Satoransky into that starting lineup, operates. You know, it looked pretty darn good for large parts of the preseason, but that's preseason. Charlotte should be a nice, soft first test to see how they fare against an actual opponent in an actual game that counts. But, you know, I'm fully expecting Zach LaVine to look just as efficient and as deadly offensively tonight as he did in the preseason. I'm hoping to see maybe a different and better version of Markkanen than the one we saw in preseason, which maybe he was just, you know, easing back into things and letting the game come to him. But I didn't love the ratio of 3-point attempts to, you know, attempts near the basket. Markkanen certainly seemed to just be roaming around the perimeter and not doing much else. So I'll be looking for that. And then also just like across the board, what this team looks like defensively. It shouldn't be hard for them to impress us with a solid defensive performance tonight, just because this Hornets team looks to be so lacking in offensive firepower. You know, losing Kemba, replacing with Terry Rozier, all right, whatever. They also lost Jeremy Lamb in the offseason. So as far as, like, this team's top scorers from last year, that's their number one and their number two. Cody Zeller is the highest points per game scorer returning from last year's roster at 10.1 points per game. And look, they've got like some new interesting pieces. I really like that kid PJ Washington that they took in the first round. Everybody's talking about maybe Malik Monk making a big step this year. They also have Dwayne Bacon, who I love mostly because of his name. But it should not be hard to put forth a decent defensive effort tonight across the board. So I'll be looking for that too.
Yeah, I think the main thing for me, you know, you were talking about preseason compared to regular season. It's totally fair. Is the type of game that you're playing is completely different. I want to look for as much of the Bulls pushing the pace as possible tonight. I want to see how much they're going to do, what rotations they're using that most effectively with, and I would assume that's going to be Zach LaVine, Kobe White, Thomas Adoransky, Otto Porter, all of those guys, and Lauri Markkanen, all those guys trying to push the pace as much as possible. So I want to see if really Jim Boylan, that's an emphasis for him in this first game for his guys. And also, too, I think it's going to be the start of the game. You know, I was talking about this when the Bulls played the Pelicans in preseason, is the first 8 or so minutes of the game, it seemed like Zach LaVine and Otto Porter were really going one-on-one, trying to play some isolation ball, more Zach LaVine than anything else, not really getting Markkanen involved or anybody else. And it seemed like the Bulls were struggling in that first quarter. So I'm hoping that that doesn't happen to start off the game this tonight. But we'll see. I mean, if the Bulls can share the ball, the Bulls can shoot the way that they did towards the back end of the preseason, this should be a pretty, pretty easy opening night win for the Bulls.
And you should also see, as far as just that offensive efficiency, something we saw in a couple of those preseason games, which were incredibly improved numbers as far as percentage of baskets that come off of assists. The Bulls were not a good team in that department last season, primarily because, you know, half of their offense was just Zach LaVine doing Zach LaVine things. But, you know, so I think they were hovering somewhere around 50% of their made baskets were assisted last season. In preseason, that jumped all the way up to like 63%. And I think it was like their game against New Orleans in particular, the one that was really impressive, like 24 of 30 in the first half, and they maintained close to that clip even in the second half when they started to pull some of their first string guys. So the team basketball, moving the ball and finding, you know, passing up good looks for great shots, that kind of thing, and seeing if they can keep that momentum going in the preseason of just really playing solid team basketball offensively.
Now, outside of the starters and what we're going to see from that main rotation, and maybe even if the game, let's hope this is not the case, but even if the game is halfway close come the fourth quarter and the Bulls have to put in their closing lineup in, say, the last 5 minutes of the game, that'll be something else I'm looking for too. Here's another point that I think we didn't make as much emphasis on throughout the offseason and into the preseason here, but was a main struggle for this Bulls team last year, and that's the fact of coming out in the second half. Think about the Bulls in the third quarters last year. The Bulls were god-awful in third quarters. I think they had the worst defensive rating and the worst offensive rating coming out of the half under Fred Hoiberg and also under Jim Boylan last year. And if it wasn't worst, it was top three worst. But still, there was a clear difference between the way the Bulls play in the first two quarters and then what they would do in that third quarter. You know, Zach LaVine and the main pieces on this team talked about it a lot last year, is, you know, when we get down, especially when maybe we're missing some shots for 5-6 minutes at a time, we got to play good on the other side of the ball because we can't go down 9-11-13 points and then hang our heads. That's when we get into trouble. So I don't think the Bulls are going to have necessarily that problem tonight, but that's another thing that I think I'm going to keep my eye on. And it's not just going to be tonight. It's going to be over the next, I would say the next 4 weeks or so. See how the Bulls come out in second halves and really to see if there's some type of adjustment Jim Boylan and the players have made from last year, because I think that should be a huge point of emphasis. The Bulls continue to play terrible out of second halves and dig themselves in huge holes, especially against better opponents. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you just said the most important word, which is adjustments. You know, you said making adjustment from last season to this season, improving coming into the, you know, the start of the second half with the flat third quarters that we saw. And to me, that's another big question about this season. Hopefully, we won't necessarily see it be a huge factor tonight with Jim Boylan's second half coaching, because hopefully the Bulls run the Hornets off the floor. And I do think that that is an area where maybe the Bulls can improve those dreadful third quarters, is that the Bulls, as we are expecting at least, and as Jim Boylan was telling us at their charity event last week, they want to be a well-conditioned team. He's been harping on it all offseason long. That was one of the first things he did when he took over for Fred, was we got to get this team in shape, because this team, by my standards, is not in shape. And that could have been part of the problem in third quarters, just getting run off the floor. And the Bulls want to flip the script there and do the opposite and run their opponents off the floor in the third quarter. And based on a couple of their preseason games, they did exactly that. So maybe that's a possibility. But as far as the adjustments, that's a big thing for me this season. We know that Jim Boylan has managed to get these guys to buy into a team-first mentality and the way that we're going to do things the right way, yada, yada, yada. But can Jim Boylan make halftime adjustments? In addition to, well, let's run our opponent off the floor in the third quarter, can he out-coach his opponent at halftime and make the proper adjustments? And can he draw up proper ATOs and do things properly in close games down the stretch? And again, hopefully that's something that we don't see tonight, because the Bulls are going to fucking, you know, demolish these pathetic Charlotte Hornets. At least that's the plan. But that's a big question for me. And, it all goes into that answer of, did Jim Boylan deserve this extension? Can he actually coach? Getting guys to buy in is one thing. Out-coaching your opponent and executing down the stretch is a different thing entirely, and we saw no proof of that last year.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, we haven't talked a lot about Jim Boylan and what we expect as far as his growth this year, and I think that's one of them. You know, we talked about it last year all the time, all of the horrible, horrible, horrible decision-making Jim Boylan would make in the second half, whether it's calling timeouts, using your last timeouts with 6.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, or if it's running out of timeout plays that just aren't effective at all or not going to get to the right players. So I think we talk about player growth all the time, but we also need to see coach growth here too, because this is Jim Boylan's first opportunity to be a head coach and really the first full season he'll have with the team. You know, he always talked about, you know, I didn't really have a training camp, so this, you know, next year will be really the full start to the season. Well, we're here now. So Jim Boylan got his training camp, got the guys to kind of buy in, it seems like, now. So at least the important pieces are bought in fully to start the season. But that's a huge one, and I think it's going to be something that Bulls fans, if the Bulls start to struggle in these first 30 games, a lot of fans are going to look at Jim Boylan and say, like, well, what adjustments has he made? What kind of growth has he made since last season? And are we sure this is the guy? But it could be flipped on the opposite end, too. If the Bulls start off really well, you know, we won't have as much negativity and criticism on Jim Boylan as we did last year, which is, I think, the most surprising thing of this all, Matt, is the Jim Boylan criticism and the Jim Boylan hate is kind of evaporated, right, over this offseason. And I don't know if that's because of the combination of the draft and the offseason moves that the Bulls made, that it kind of just shadowed over all of the Jim Boylan problems that we had from last year, or maybe it's just fans excited for this season. But either way, it seems like that criticism has kind of died down, at least for now.
Yeah, and I think that that's, as you mentioned, as we get through the first 20 or 30 games and see how the Bulls are doing, and if there are some legitimate questions about maybe the Bulls losing some games that they should have won, and Jim Boylan not getting his job done and not putting his guys in the best possible opportunities to succeed, then, you know, the Bulls suffered a disappointing start to their season last year. Not like people were expecting the moon, but even based on their moderate expectations, you know, the beginning of last season was awful. And some of that was due to, you know, Markkanen, Dunn, Bobby, significant guys going down with injuries early. But so their move was, all right, well, this is bad. We got to change something. And so they fire Fred and replace him with Jim. This season, if Jim gets off to a bad start and he looks to be a reason for their struggles early on, then what's your move if you're the Bulls front office? Like, you have no move left, because you already made your move in ousting Fred and saying Jim's the right guy, and then even going so far as to extend Jim Boylan's contract this past offseason despite the 22-60. And, you know, he wasn't responsible for all of that, but he was responsible for a lot of it. Then what do you do? And I'm not saying I think that's going to happen. I'm just saying it's certainly a possibility. And then what then? If Boylan looks to be nothing more than a rah-rah high school coach who can't actually compete amongst other coaches at the NBA level, then what do you do?
You get another storyline to watch out for, too, is, you know, the conflict Jim Boylan had with other NBA head coaches. I'm curious to see how that plays out when the Bulls play all teams around the NBA this season, and you think about the Clippers team and the things scuffle that they got into late last year with Doc Rivers and the Sacramento stuff. Well, Dave Yeager doesn't have a job, so Boylan doesn't have to worry about him. Same thing with Igor Kokoskov. He doesn't have a job either. So really, it's Doc Rivers really the only one he had a problem with last year. But I think you're right. I think it's if this Bulls team gets off to a weird start, if they get off to a negative start, it's going to be a lot of questions about why Boylan got an extension, what he's doing to grow this team, and why this team isn't clicking. But like you said, I don't think that that's going to be necessarily the way that this Bulls team starts. Although they're going to have an uphill battle, we continue to go back to the first 30 games of this season, and you look at the November schedule, and the November schedule is absolutely brutal. So if Jim Boylan can get his Bulls team out of the month of November 500 or better, I think that's a huge win for this Bulls team, and will keep fans interested, intrigued, and even the casual basketball fan, I think, will at least be tuning in and night out if the Bulls stay around 500 or better. But you know, if we start off again the season where we're 6-19, 7-18, something like that, there's going to be a lot of questions about how this Bulls team's going to play out for another year having a difficult start. So I don't think it's going to go that way. And one thing that John Paxson, he was on with Mully and Haw on the 670 The Score yesterday, he was referring back to the main point of all of this season, that it all goes back to health. And you know, that's, it's an easy point to make, and it's one that's pretty obvious, but to me, it's like there's got to be something else besides health. You know, we can't just be continuously banking on health. And I think the Bulls are a little bit better equipped to deal with injuries this year than maybe they were last year. Outside of the wing position, I think that's the only place the Bulls are really kind of thin. But they did address a lot of other places where I think if injuries go down, guys can kind of slide in and fill in those roles better than they did last year.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that this team is deeper than it was last season. Yeah, some of the pieces are different. You know, obviously Jabari and Bobby have moved on. Blakeney is a superstar in China, which is awesome for him. But actual depth and actual talent that you can use, and if he wants to, Boylan, especially early on in the season, and then in various, you know, dog days of January and February, he can go 10 deep if he wants to, if people stay healthy. And then, as you pointed out, if for some reason somebody goes down, they do have more talent and more capability to deal with an injury than they did last season. You know, the front court is stacked with Lowry, Wendell, Thad Young. He being able to play some small ball five, certainly can play some four. He can play a three in a pinch. And then, of course, Luke Kornet, Gafford, who probably won't play a whole lot of minutes unless somebody goes down. So you're setting the front court, the back court, you got plenty of guards. It's just that one spot. It's that wing spot where right now we're hearing about Otto and his 30-minute, you know, limit per game that he talked about with the Bulls coming into the season, talking about giving him some load management nights off on either the front or back end of a back-to-back set of games. We'll see if he plays both Friday and Saturday. I would assume because it's early in the season, he'll play both of those, but throughout the season, they're probably going to rest him. And then what about if Otto, God forbid, gets hurt? Right now, we're hearing that Hutchison is, like, you know, running at team practices, but he's still not playing, still not 100%, still not close to being ready to go. And Denzel Valentine was not in Boylan's rotation in their final dress rehearsal preseason game. And I think, you know, we talked about how maybe Boylan thinks that Denzel's not in good enough shape yet. So that, like, beyond that, where's your depth at that spot? And that's the only one that's a real concern right now.
You bring up another good point, too, about Porter is, you know, let's not forget the injuries that he dealt with last year, too, even precursor the coming to the Bulls. You know, he dealt with a foot injury that kept him out for a little while last year, and he had some minor tweaks here and there, too. So I think that's a good point to make, and I think Otto knows that as well. And look, Otto's going into a contract year as well. I mean, he's still got an option for next year, and I don't think he's going to turn down that option, nor do I think he's going to get more money than he's getting paid right now annually. But still, I think there's a lot of things for him to consider for his career as far as longevity goes, and he sees how other guys in the league have used this to their advantage. I mean, the best example is Kawhi Leonard. He used this perfectly, and the Raptors did this perfectly with him, and it helped keep him healthy all throughout the season. So I think you're right. I think if for Otto Porter's sake, for the Bulls' sake, just keeping guys healthy, giving those guys those nights off where other guys can step up, I think is going to be huge. I still have some concerns about the wing depth that the Bulls have, even if Hutchinson comes back and is fully healthy. Like, still, we don't really know what he is. And if Denzel Valentine is still at the point where he's not even back into basketball shape and not used to playing games every day, and he's not going to be as effective, the Bulls are going to kind of have a hole there if Otto Porter needs to sit out a night or two. So they're really going to have to rely on a smaller lineup if Otto needs to sit out and Chandler's still out with his injury. So I think Jim Boylan's going to have to do a lot of creative things in this first 30 games or so to just try to decide how he's going to use those wings and how he's going to set guys as far as their minutes go. There is one other guy I wanted to talk about really quickly as we kick off the season here. But before we do that, I just wanted to remind all of our listeners that Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now for $30 off with your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. When entering the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout, that's $30 off your purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Go get yourself a brand new suit. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Also want to mention, too, real quick, that we've finally rounded out the Chicago Locked On Podcast Network family. Herb Lawrence from 670 The Score, executive producer over there, does great work for the Cubs and also doing all of the Bulls games this year. He's taking over Locked On White Sox. So now we have all five major teams here in Chicago covered, from the Bears to the Bulls to the Blackhawks, the White Sox, and the Cubs. A lot of offseason things going on in baseball as well. So make sure you give them a subscribe, give Herb a subscribe, as well as Locked On Blackhawks. So Jay Zawoski has absolutely been killing it. I'm pretty sure he's one of the most popular NHL hockey shows right now out there, and he's been doing a wonderful job. So if you're a big Blackhawks fan, go give him a subscribe as well. But Matt, the guy that I wanted to talk about really quick is Chris Dunn. I think he's going to be the most interesting storyline for me to continuously watch throughout this early part of this season. And I heard Earl Watson talking on the NBA preview, which if you get some time today, any Bulls fans out there, go on YouTube and watch the NBA preview. Earl Watson and Brendan Haywood did a really good job kind of breaking it down 10 of the most important things for this Bulls team coming up this season. But one of them that intrigued me the most was Earl Watson's take on Chris Dunn. And he thinks that this is a career defining year for Chris Dunn. He also mentioned too that that Chris Dunn should take the advice of Chauncey Billups, pick up the phone, call Chauncey Billups and ask him how he dealt with this in his career. Because if you remember Chauncey Billups in Detroit, after leaving there, kind of was this highly regarded guy and didn't really have a role, was kind of struggling and ended up turning in his career into a pretty good one. So he was like, yeah, Chris Dunn should call Chauncey Billups, ask him how he dealt with all of his struggles and what he should do to continue to have a longevity in the NBA. And I think it's right. I think Chris Dunn this year is a career defining year for him.
Well, and I mean, I think the key is going to be whether or not he continues to embrace the role, as we keep hearing he has, coming into training camp and even the voluntary September workouts with a positive frame of mind, refocused, all that stuff. And then, of course, the gushing of Chris Dunn media day. And I think all of that was in part just to try to hype him up and build up his trade value, but also to try and hype him up a little bit, too, and say, look, we still think that you have a role to play here, parentheses, because we couldn't find a trade for you, but we still think you have a role here. And in the preseason, it looked like he and Coby White formed a pretty interesting and pretty dynamic and pretty effective second unit backcourt. And he could end up increasing his trade value if he continues to perform well in that role, continues to excel as a, you know, above average, if not elite, defensive perimeter player. And then the question becomes, are the Bulls relevant? And do the Bulls see Chris Dunn's role on the team and in Boylan's rotation as vital to maintaining their relevancy beyond the trade deadline, or does he build up that value enough so that they will, while still on the phones throughout the entirety of the first half of the season, as I expect them to be, pull the trigger on a trade when one presents itself? I still think that the latter is more likely. I still think that Chris Dunn is not on this roster after the trade deadline. But it's just a matter of how good he looks going up to that point.
Yeah, I think another factor, too, is as much as we kind of joke about it, it's going to be Denzel Valentine, right? Like, if he is not a part of Boylan's rotation this year, you still need depth at that 1-2-3 spot. Like, you can shuffle and shift guys around if you use Chris Dunn in your rotation, but if Denzel Valentine gets off to a really slow start, isn't looking particularly good, I mean, that's another piece that you don't have as part of your depth. So if you trade Chris Dunn away, then you're really thinning yourself down as far as your backcourt goes. So I think that's something else to look at too. I think you're right, though. I think part of the hype on Chris Dunn around media day was just kind of building his confidence back up. And I was telling Joe Ostrowski this last night. I was saying, you know, for Chris Dunn, I think the main thing for him is confidence. Confidence is everything. Look back to the first season, and now people roll their eyes when I talk about the first season Chris Dunn was in a Bulls uniform. But seriously, at his height, when he played the best in a Bulls uniform, his confidence was at an all-time high. And that goes without saying in sports in general. Athletes who have high confidence levels usually perform pretty well. So I think that's due in part, and it's good to hear his teammates kind of have his back too. Whether or not he's a part of this team long term, I like to know that his teammates are there for him and are trying to help him as much as they can as well. And it's not sort of what we might have thought it was going to be, drafting Kobe White as these butting of heads, and it's either me or him kind of mentality. So we haven't heard that. It seems like everybody is a collective one, at least for now. It seems like they've all bought in, which is a good thing. I think it's a win-win for the Bulls, and it's a win for Bulls fans. I don't have to pick sides, at least for right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Bulls, certain, you know, portions of the fan base pick sides before we even see anything. A lot of Bulls fans can get stuck in their opinions and you know, try and reconvince themselves of said opinions and reconvince others of those opinions regardless of what we're seeing. There is some of that, you know, stubbornness to this fan base, and I can certainly understand it, and I feel that way too about certain things myself sometimes. You know, as for Denzel, I still think if he's in shape, then he could be a decent three-point shooter for the second unit. I don't think that he's a whole lot more than that. You know, I got into a silly debate on Twitter on Friday with C Red Fred about what Denzel is and is not and can be or could be. And I think you agree with me. I think we talked about it recently. It's just like, even if that's all he is, that could still be a useful thing. And if they do end up trading Dunn, or if something else happens and somebody goes down and they need him to be in the rotation, he can still serve a useful purpose. But the bottom line is he's got to be at, he has to reach a point where Boylan trusts him to play more than 2 minutes at this up-tempo pace that we are hearing Boylan wants to play at. Because if Denzel can't do that, then the limited usefulness he has, in my opinion, is not there, because Boylan won't trust him to be able to play on both ends at the speed he wants to play at.
Last thing I got for you, we'll get out of here and enjoy the rest of tonight, Bulls opening, as well as the rest of the NBA. Watching the last preseason game, we haven't been on since the last preseason game, at least together. I heard Stacey King give you a shout out. He was arguing with Neil Funk, and it ended up turning into an argument the last preseason game. Did you by chance catch that?
Yeah. We were watching the game in the green room at NBC because we did an Outsiders episode for the final preseason game. And it was actually based on the previous time in their first preseason game when he was giving the Outsiders a shout out, doing like a little live promo of our show in season two. And he said, you know, Bulls Outsiders with, you know, my guys, John and Dave. And then he like paused for a second and couldn't think of my name because apparently my name wasn't on the copy that he was given to read. So there was like a long pause. And then Neil Funk gave Stacey a hard time. Was like, yeah, I don't think you and Matt are actually all that close, because he was like, oh, my guys, and then forgot my name. And then Stacey, you know, of course, couldn't let it go, and had to like come back the next time around and try and convince Neil that he did in fact know who I was. And I was, you know, I got a chuckle out of it, just because even hearing my name come out of Stacey King's mouth while the Bulls are, you know, being broadcast on the air is all kinds of absurd. But I think he doubled down on it because I gave him a hard time when we opened our Outsider show after that game where he forgot my name, and then I pretended to not know what his name was. So I think Stacey refused to be outdone.
I'm excited to hear those two, and it'll be the final season for Neil Funk as well. So, you know, there's a lot of Bulls fans kind of, it seems like the later years, kind of ripping on the Bulls broadcast. I love Neil Funk, and I love Stacey King, and I think Bulls fans are going to miss it. Same way White Sox fans, especially the ones that were tired of Hawk Harrelson, kind of missed him after the fact. Not to take away anything from Jason Benetti. Does a fantastic job, and I think he's one of the best broadcasters in the business, and he's going to be with the Sox for a long time. But I think it's going to be one of those nostalgia things. People are gonna miss what they don't realize is gone once it is. So shout out to Neil Funk, shout out to Stacey King, everybody that's going to work the Bulls games, and as well as the radio call too. Chuck Swirsky does a really, really great job on 670 The Score. So there'll be pre and post there, as well as pre and post on NBC Sports Chicago tonight. So if you can't get enough Bulls stuff, there's plenty of stuff to consume over the next 24 hours or so. But I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thank you so much for listening. Very, very, very excited for tonight's game in Charlotte. We'll be back tomorrow with a full recap of the game, as well as your text messages and voicemails later in this week. So make sure you hit up our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop us a call or a text message, or you can tweet at us tonight throughout the game at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Peck. Thanks to Indochino for sponsoring the show today. Again, go subscribe, Locked On Blackhawks and the new Locked On White Sox show, all available right now. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you're enjoying what we're doing here, maybe you're listening to Locked On Bears or Locked On Cubs as well, and you enjoy what Sean Sears and Lauren Cox do over their shows, make sure to subscribe here. Get these episodes as soon as they drop, no matter where you're getting your episodes from: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you get podcasts, we are sure to be there. So make sure you give us a subscribe, as well as all the other Chicago shows. All five teams covered now. So Locked On Podcast, your team every day. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, enjoy opening night tonight. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, we are out of here. Deuces.
Free cheese.
You ain't no Michael Jordan.
I thought it was a real positive.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.